episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Now recording. Good evening. This is Rick and Rollo, episode number 32 or 33. Rollo? Oh, here we go. That's working. Excellent. We'll do another one.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Good evening. It's Rick and Rollo on the 70th of May, 1925.
And it's Rick here, and it's episode number 31. Rollo just informed me on the little break there.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome, Rollo, to Rick and Rollo, episode number 31. Can you believe
it? Hello.
Hello. I just have to say this, not really 31. It would have to be 231, really.
RAR031, Saturday the 17th of May, 2025. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful we're doing another Sober Saturday?
It's fantastic. Are you lying?
I'm lying. I'm having a James Bogue premium lager. My wife is off to see Tommy Emmanuel tonight, so it's just me and you. The wife is out of the house. You remember Tommy Emmanuel? The he played classical guitar.
He covered it, but he's one of Australia's best.
He could cover it. That's one of my favorite songs. Classical.
What was his brother? It's great. Yeah, it was originally done by that American guy. But what was the his brother's name that he passed away a few years ago.
I'll look it up. There was Tommy Emmanuel.
He was a fucking awesome guitarist too.
Really? Okay. Well, give me a second.
He's a session guitarist, right? Okay. So both of them are session guitarists. They can play anything, anytime, anywhere, and perfect backwards, sideways. Tommy liked a bit of coke, apparently. He was admitting that he spent most of his years coked off his head. But he always had a big smile on his face. He was on Hey Out Saturday a few times, grinning away.
Oh, I loved Hey. It's Phil Emmanuel, his name was. Ernest Emmanuel, yeah.
Phil died.
He passed away in 2018, yeah. Same deal. He was the older brother of Tommy. So Tommy's playing tonight here in Newcastle at the Civic Theatre, and Christy's and her sister's going to go on and watch it. So I have the house.
For yourself.
Yeah, to ourselves tonight. So
and the dog. The house and the dog.
And yeah, and the dog. And talk about houses. We can talk about.
Oh. Any news? Any news? All right. Drum roll. Rollo has a big announcement.
I've signed contracts. Hopefully the dude who's trying to buy my place comes through with his finance next week. We had such a panicle, is that a word? Panic attacks.
We're all panicle. That's a word. Guaranteed.
Anyway, we've got a little bit of we put a little bit of a deposit in it, and they got a deposit, and it's just the bank is it's just hope.
I'll clear this up for those out there that are listening. Those poor
it's a nightmare.
People that listen to the show. So Rollo's bought a house, but the guy that's bought his house hasn't quite
as
got
it,
his
as it ponied finances. Up the cash.
Yeah.
We won the cash. That was the cash.
But Rollo, Ren Christie and Rollo told me the other night, I said, it's fantastic because it sounds perfect. It's a house near a station in Newcastle. We won't name it.
I swear to God, Velocet, if he's there, when I met Velocet one time when he got
up the train,
he was supposed to get the train to come and visit me, but he actually got the bus. And when he got off the bus, it was this plume of vape smoke when he got out. Just when he walked out the door, you've never seen so much. It was like the bloody bus was on fire, you know. And anyway, where Velocet got off that point at Cardiff, I'm a two-minute walk from there. So that means
– And Cardiff, is where that cool secondhand music shop is, record shop.
I know exactly where it is. I'm about a five-minute walk from there. I'm a two-minute walk from the station. I'm a two-minute walk from – Oh, like every bus to get wherever I need to. And, and the place has got it's just a two bedroom place, but it's open plan. And,
but it's got a granny,
It's got a granny flat as well. I swear it's just perfect.
So I could make more use out of this place. I can dress up as a granny and come and live there.
You can come and live there. I swear. And, it will get so much more use. Because I didn't get any use out of it. I just liked it up there because it was like top of town. You know,
the birdhouse. Oh, you did. Well, you can still have those birds. All you have to do is get a bird feeder and hang it out in your backyard, and they'll find you again.
Well, this place, apart from being right next to the railway track, which I love, by the way. Because, you know, people don't like the train.
So you've
got the train coming like through the middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one. I've got one down the road from me too. So
it doesn't bother me at all. And but
I like the sound. It's comforting. It's comforting.
I listen to shit all night anyway on my headphones. I listen to podcasts or whatever while I sleep anyway. So it doesn't matter. And there's a huge nature reserve out the back.
Oh, that's awesome, right?
I can take Reggie for a walk. It's a gate I open, and it's a nature reserve. It's not a wetland or anything like here. It's a nature. Yeah, yeah.
So you've probably got snakes and ticks. That's wonderful.
Probably. Why not?
Snakes and ticks. Yeah. Now, speaking of, can I just say how sickeningly amazing I am?
How sickeningly amazing are you, Rick?
I got home. I drove home last night. Right. I did my normal job. I was on the road. I drove from the winner is to, I got to the court, you know, the what's that? The turn off that heads towards, you know, the M1 at 10 to 9, which is absolute fucking amazing. Drove. And, you know, if I'd looked at the Apple or whatever phone I've got, what the weather it said is, you know, it's going to be, you know, torrential downpours, blah, blah, blah. It didn't rain at all till I got to Taree. Anyway, I got home, had a few beers, went to sleep, woke up this morning, and I thought, I've got, because, you know, they've been threatening there's going to be a biblical level rain event here, and it's fucking nightmare already. grass is sodden, etc. Now, I got up and I whippersnippered and mowed my backyard and my front yard. Didn't break any windows on my van. And including, I did my out the nature strip, which is on a 45-degree angle. It's like the Kokoda Trail. I'm telling you, and this, it's so much. I was slipping and sliding. Because there's so much rain. But I cut all my nature strip because if you don't do it, guess what happens? Council comes around, sprays DDT, DDT on your lawn and kills all the weeds. So you got to cut it and look after it. So I don't want those cunts spraying any more poisons at me. So anyway, I did that and I went and did a job, my op shop job, despite feeling tired and stuff. And I just think I'm amazing. I have to keep telling
you. You are amazing.
I'm amazing. Yeah. Anyway, but you, Rollo, that is an amazing accomplishment.
You're amazing.
You're amazing. Did you see? Speaking of which, someone I know, kind of, only from mutual friends and hanging around Balmain, is a singer. What's his name that sings "You Amazing"?
Simply Amazing. That one. You're amazing. Yeah.
Lloyd. What's his name? Yeah. Alex Lloyd. Alex Lloyd. Did you see? Because he was a kid. He was this big. They used to call him Fat Alex. And he was this, I think he's Russian genealogy. But he's had a great voice. And he used to have a band called The Beefs. And his mutual friends were in that band. And then he had that hit. He's a real proper Balmain kid. And anyway, he's living in Newcastle.
It was released 5 days after September 11, 2001.
Wow. Hey, what a coincidence.
Watching the Angels.
It's a really good song.
Alex Lloyd's song, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Alex is living in Newcastle now, and he got done for drunk. He got done for
did he?
Have a look at this court case. He got done for drunk driving, and he said, he had no license and apparently got pulled up by the cops. And I had a big photo of him in the paper, and everyone's making jokes about it because he's got put the weight back on again. But if you move to Newcastle, your driver's license is always in peril. You always tend to drink too much or do something else. This is true. It's true. But what a great song. Do you remember that song?
I do. That reminds me of, I'm just looking it up there. Oh, Alex Lloyd, Castle. Oh, man. Yeah.
Newcastle Court. Newcastle
Disqualified
license. And you know what he said? He goes, I thought that I got it back. I thought that my license was back. I didn't know it was disqualified. it was like bullshit. It ranked
100 in 2001 on the Triple J Hottest 100. No,
really?
One.
It didn't actually got to number one. One. Number one.
No,
yeah,
it
was number
one. It ranked one on Triple. Fuck me. I could care less about in 2001. I was more interested in, well, obviously September 11. No, I was actually, I had a really good computer job. I was selling computers and whatnot at that time. But yeah.
What made
How
you
about that? How, well, look, what made... I here, get this for a, you know that song, that somebody that I used to know?
Yeah.
Who was that band? Gautier, right?
Gautier.
That
I just
guy
listened
never...
to that the other day. I just listened to that again the other day.
That guy never monetized on YouTube his song.
Really?
And
a billion hits.
It did 30, apparently, there were millions of dollars. He could have, millions of dollars. But he never wanted to be famous. So he...
What was the name of the chick that there was a New Zealand singer was the girl?
Oh, yeah, the black-headed chick that she got painted up as well. Oh, man. Where's Velocet tonight so we can play all of these while we're...
I hate music that I hear and forced on me. And that song's Mental. But the other day I listened to it, and it is a very clever song. You know, it's the guy, it's about a breakup, you know, and the guy's saying, it's two sides of a breakup, basically. It's very clever. She was good though.
There are quite a few songs like that but none quite as good as that, in my opinion.
Big at the moment. Speaking of New Zealand singers, Lord, that Lord chick.
Oh yeah, she's been.
She's just released another. She is a major talent.
What was her biggest?
That song.
Look it up.
Royals. She did that. Have you seen that cover of her album? They have to put a sticker on it now. It's basically, it looks like her. It's someone's taken a photo of her on the beach, and she's stepping over them, and they've taken a photo upwards, and it looks like she's not wearing any underpants whatsoever. So now, when you buy the album, there's a sticker over her genitalia area, which is quite on show. Anyway, she became, you know, David Bowie went to see her and went before he died and went backstage and she got a photo of David Bowie with his arms around her. But guess what she's just decided? She said, I am a woman, but the only time I'm not a woman is when I'm a man.
Oh.
Now she's going the trans thing that she said, I'm actually a woman, but I'm only a woman on the days that I'm not a man. That's her latest big story to publicise her big hit that she's going to come out with. Greenlight's also. I love that song Greenlight that she did. I think it's called Greenlight.
Royals is definitely is the huge. Biggest one in 2013.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're not going out with that. We're definitely going out with I'm going out with my I sent to Velocet. Here we go. Let's have a check. What did I send to Bello? I sent him. What I definitely want to go out with is Player One Space Invaders from 1980. Space Invaders.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's because we played computer games last week.
When we spoke about Richard Chamberlain last week, do you know what we forgot to mention? One of the biggest movies he was ever in, and a movie I loved when I was a kid, when I was 7 years old. It was called Towering Inferno.
Yeah, so that was
how many famous people were in that?
Everybody.
Like, seriously, I'm gonna go through them right now. Yep. Who were the main two?
OJ Simpson, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, right?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh no, had everyone that
so
was
so many. I know Fred Astaire was in it.
Yes.
Fred Astaire, hold on. Pull it up.
You know, that was predictive programming for another big event that was going to happen about 15, 16 years later. 26 years later. The Towering Inferno.
Here we go. So we had Steve McQueen as Michael O'Hallahan, who was the fire chief. Paul Newman, he was the architect.
Yes.
William Holden, he was the builder. Faye Dunaway, she was the the fiance of someone famous. So that Fred Astaire. You had Richard Chamberlain, who was the electrical engineer that caused all the fire. Yep. You had OJ Simpson, he was the chief security officer. We had Robert Vaughn. Robert Vaughn. Yeah, remember him? Robert Vaughn was
The Magnificent Seven. He was in
Cowboy.
And an amazing 70s show called The Protectors. Song. In the avenues and alleyways. That was from the theme to The Protectors. Huge show.
Brilliant. He was in that episode of the Superman 3. He was the bad guy in Superman 3.
That's right. He was an amazing character. He was an amazing actor that was in almost everything.
He was awesome.
Magnificent Seven was his biggest movie, I would say.
Yeah, with that would have been with Yul Brynner and Is that right? Steve McQueen. There we go. All right, next one. Hey, you work with this guy, or you know him, Robert Vaughan Wagner. He was the US. Robert Wagner was the public relations officer. So there you go. You got Robert Wagner in it. So who you worked with?
Everyone that was anyone was in Towering Inferno. So basically, in the '70s, you got
Dabney Coleman. Everyone remembers him. You've got Jackie Collins. We got Joan Crawford. We got like look at all these people. Hell. Like
Joan Crawford was in it.
And they've got
is that what it said?
We've got William. Oh, sorry, did I miss?
John Crawford.
Sorry, John Crawford. No, my bad.
Okay, I was going to say not Joan.
Yeah, I think she might have been dead at the time. But it was such a.
They could have dug her up. It was such an awesome.
They never remade that. I'm glad that they never remade that. It was such a fantastic film.
They did. They did in 2001, September. Yeah.
They remade it for real life.
And then they mirror imaged it. Yeah, the two Towering Infernos. The sequel.
Well, there you go. So that's. Just because Richard Chamberlain, I really loved him in Shogun. Someone mentioned that they remade Shogun now, but the one that I liked him in was like when what was it? Because he went to Japan and it was James Clavell, right? So he was Whitey in Japan.
Didn't Tom Cruise do a movie, The Last Samurai? I think that is kind of based on Shogun as well. Yeah. Shot in New Zealand.
I just loved it where they killed you for such frivolous reasons. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, I don't want to get into that. St. Louis won today against the Kansas City Royals. George Brett was there. Now, if we had Velasquez here, we could play the George Brett audio, but we don't. Okay, so the big.
You're listening
to Rick and Roll.
Rick and Roll. Rick and Roll.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
Thank you, Velocet. Yeah, so, yeah, truthmeets.com, Saturday the 17th of May, 2025, Rick and Roller 031, Rick and Roller 31. Now, Rick,
yes.
this is the subject that sort of seems to be all over social media at the moment, which is fascinating. And I actually picked up one thing that's just so amazing. So in America, amazing America.
Yeah.
Look, former FBI director. Now his name is James Comey, right? Now he, on Instagram. Now I'll give you the date. It was on Thursday the 15th, 2025.
Yep.
He posted on Instagram 86:45 on shells, like on a beach.
Yeah.
This is an amazing
synchronicity, allegedly story.
And 86 means
to get rid of. I think it's a military term to be 86.
Well, 86 in restaurant parlance, it means get rid of the dish or get rid of the person. Yeah, get rid of, basically. But remember, Agent
86.
Don Adams, coincidence, Agent 86.
Remember that? And so the 86, the president 47. That's what it stands for, Chief, Rick,
I demand the cone of silence.
Yeah.
Hello, Chief.
Yeah.
Would you believe?
Oh, it,
Yeah.
Would you believe
in 6.47?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that show, and I never even got it. So chaos and control. But Asian 86, which what he was, Maxwell Smart, and 86 to 86 someone in real like it means to eliminate, to terminate, it's a hit to get rid of. And what do you think the number 47 means? 86.
Well, it's 47. The number, it's 11, but it's also that they're implying 86, the 47th president of the USA.
Yes.
Don Trump.
Don in the Middle East at the moment.
But how many days was it since 2001, September the 11th, that's what I was going to tell you.
Okay. So when Comey, like, this is the guy who says, all right, I did not, I think it was political, but I wasn't aware that it meant, you know, 86 meant hit.
Bullshit.
And like the guy was the ex, he was for 30 years, he was the director of the FBI. He was the
What is the weird coincidence that fits in with that? RTS,
when he posted, 86, 47 on Thursday, the 15th of 2025. If you count back 8,647 days before the date he posted that on Instagram. It was September 11, 2001, and I checked it, and it's absolutely true. And
if you listen to the increasingly mentally ill IPS who's obsessed with attacking people that believe that there's a sky fuckery going on in their heads, his show always has a guy called Jurassic Liars, and this guy. Has all those figures and numbers. He always brings out the best stuff. And I haven't heard them say it, but where did you find this out, Rollo, when you spotted it was...
It was in a comment section, and I wrote to the guy, and I said, wow, that's...
YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. So I just wrote in the comment section, I said, wow, I just checked that. And you're absolutely correct. That's amazing. That's got to be either a deep state thing or an amazing coincidence. Yeah, and bingo. No coincidence. Like my comment, five seconds later was
got deleted.
It got deleted. They deleted the comment. And all I just said was, "Wow, that's amazing." Well. And then his comment got deleted straight afterwards.
Isn't that amazing? Because
I checked it. It's called meta script.
Yeah. And so there's so many days happen between certain events, like when the Queen died, it was 911 days between something or other. It's just too weird. It's so amazing, but the thing is, Rick,
the thing is, I just don't think James came. Is James Comey that smart or that dumb I think he's looking at prison time at the moment because, like, Trump has actually now acknowledged what his Instagram post and everyone's paying for his blood now. But the fact that it was actually that many days back, and I said it's got to be something to do with the deep state or it's some massive coincidence. It's a deep state thing.
It's not cool. I'll just say this. It's deliberately done. When you listen to Jurassic Liars, this particular, he's got a YouTube account, right? Mm-hmm. He nails all these weird coincidences between Elvis Presley and Donald Trump. There's fucking incredible coincidences there. And you'll find that all these people involved.
It's so funny that you bring that up. The other day, I saw a thing where Donnie, when his very younger days, there was, excuse me, I just breathed in a beer into my lungs. Thank you for that.
Snorting beer.
The one time Elvis Aaron Presley in 1972, just at, you know, when he was towards, you know, when he was in his Vegas, you know, Fat 30, Elvis time.
30. One time
in Madison Square Garden, he actually got to see him. He never got to meet him. Young Donald Trump. Yeah, at Madison Square Garden. He played in New York one time, Elvis. And Donald Trump got to see him and absolutely, just, you know, he couldn't speak higher of the man, of his just ability and his charisma again. And everything. And so it either could my mother loved him to bits. And how much did the whole world love him to bits? Honestly.
Elvis had taken
better care of his colon.
I don't believe. The whole story. Now, even if you go and watch that movie, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you watched Baz Luhrmann's Elvis film?
The
big movie.
Tell me about it. The one with Tom Hanks as the manager.
Yep.
No, I haven't. I've heard it's not that good.
I was going to say Colonel Sanders, but Colonel.
No, the Parker. Colonel. Yeah, who would never let him go overseas. That's right. Yeah, he would never.
Yeah, that's. But anyway,
I've heard it's not good.
There's a guy out there, and I think I have to shout him out. Jurassic Liars. And it's JEWRASSIC, not Jurassic as in the normal spelling. It's Jew as in JEW. This guy, he's from Lebanese stock or Middle Eastern stock, but lives in America. This guy has got, you know, that what you just did with Comey and the, you know, those the exact days. This guy has done it with everything. It's just incredible. I mean, there's all these coincidences, and you'll find that all these people in the media at the moment are doing and saying things about Donald Trump. They're either born on 6/11 or 11/6. So there's this weird 11/6, 6/11, and 9/11, 6/11, whatever going on with all people's birth dates. Now, I can't understand anything other than the fact that it's either divinely happened that they actually were born on those days, or someone's writing a script and filling in their birth dates for the media, which is more likely, but who's to know? Fascinating stuff, though, Rollo. This is a really good show. This is one of the greatest Rick and Rollo shows we've ever done. The only person missing from this show, there's one voice. Oh, that's mate, it's fucking out there stuff. The golden skid mark / noise level is the only voice missing on these shows because he remember that his artwork that he did for the Fart podcast, FART podcast?
Oh, yeah.
It was a Twin Towers and it had Kennedy's head superimposed into it with a bullet striking.
I want to buy that, the original print, not the. I want the original. Yeah, the original print.
I should contact him and say Rollo wants to pay some cash for your artwork.
Yeah. There we go. We do have Bella Ted here. Hey, g'day, Bella. Bella.
He could be here.
He's definitely here.
What a laugh! I'm telling you now. All right. Greatest life.
I need
ever.
Let's have a song. Can I have my song first?
Get out of the way.
It's called Player One, Space Invaders. All right. Here we go. Come on, Velo. Can we have that?
Space Invaders.
And then I'll go to the bathroom and then I'll be right back.
A toilet break. I don't know if he's able to do things like that. Right? He may be.
He's only got his soundboard.
He might do. I don't know. I don't know. But if you suddenly hear that song, Ready Player One, Space Invaders, or whatever it's called, Player One.
Ready Player. I've seen the movie. I didn't mind the movie.
I own it. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, that's. Steven Spielberg. Did he do that?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Mm.
Well, it's full of interesting bits and pieces, though. Let me just tell you now quietly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's
the only thing I was going to say. On. I didn't come in to play a lot of songs, but just before you were saying, you thought you were about to say Colonel Sanders, and I was thinking Major Tom. So between the two of us, we were right.
Hey, there's definitely a there with that. I didn't even think of that coincidence. Colonel Sanders, Major Tom, Colonel Tom Parker, you know, the Elvis's manager.
Hey, Vello.
Guaranteed there.
Hey, Vello. Do you remember when you got out of the bus and I met you that time your plume of vape smoke when you came out of that bus? Do you know where you got off that spot? My new house is about a 5-minute walk from there.
You already got a new place.
Where you go?
Yes. Yep. Well, this is the big news of Rick and Rollo. But yeah. Rollo hasn't actually got any money from the sale of the treehouse yet. So there could be an issue.
The house next door to me's been sold to niggers.
Well, my new neighbors apparently not
Indian.
N words.
Not yet.
Hold on. They're old Aussies, and look, it's just a lovely little place. It's a 2-bedroom place, and it's got a lovely little granny flat, and it's got a lovely out the back is just a lovely nature reserve. Yeah, I've just got a perfect place.
Awesome. You never ever told me that the other night. That's really good because there's nothing worse than having neighbours.
How much did you spend on that?
$775. So I sold my place for $975, and I got this place for $775. So $200,000 plus this.
Wow, that's a nice Truth Meats donation.
Okay, Truth Meats donation. What is it? Player One, Space Invaders. You can throw some of my drops over if you want to. Come on, do it for me. I'll give you $30. Here we go.
Yeah. Right, were you going to keep going higher the longer I waited?
$50.
I'm on mute.
go. Player one. Space Invaders on truthmeats.com. Rick and Rollo 30.
How fun was that?
Oh, it was so good.
That was a big hit.
There was another one close to that. Remember Pac-Man Fever? Do you remember Pac-Man Fever?
Oh, I love that too. Now, I remember clearly in... Yes, 78, 79, Space Invaders came out, and you go to a...
It was huge, that video game. If you remember Minder, Arthur Daly he pretended he was no good at it, and then he would go against other people, and then he'd just
get
the shit out of them. Yeah. Arthur Daly, George Cole. Back in... Minder, I remember him just saying, "Oh man, I don't know how this game works," and then he just kicks his shit out of it.
I would say because that show was the biggest show on English TV at the stage, it was advertising the game.
But like, guaranteed. Remember, when you're a pool shark, you pretend you're hopeless at the game, and then put $50 on, and then it's just the same deal. But I love your song last week because you do look like the guy from My Sex Computer Games.
He could be related to me, Roller.
Exactly like him back then when he died in fucking 92 from a car accident. Unfortunate. Yeah.
But that song, Computer Games, actually still sounds as clean and modern as... Like, it sounds fantastic still to this day.
Well, I said they were one-hit wonder. You said they've got another hit song called Blue... what was it now? Blue Day.
That's you're listening to...
Rick and Roller.
No matter what your age...
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
God, we've got a lot of condensation in this town right now. It's raining cats and dogs. We'll just stop for a while. We are now on the 17th of May, 2025, on episode 31 of Rick and Roll, on truthmeets.com. That's the 31st episode on truthmeets.com. It would have to be 200 shows, Rollo. It would easily over in fake old.
Could be. And we're here with our super duper producer as well.
It's fantastic. And hopefully he's hanging around because it's good to have Joel in the background.
Yeah, we could play some Stan Simonica or some old Mulray or just like John Stanley does.
Don't preempt anything.
The project tonight was actually to pull out a bunch of wires. It won't affect what you guys are doing, but I'm going to be busy here doing that, which will stop me from playing stuff. I was going to say too, it's funny you think he looks like the guy from My Sex because I just sent you a photo, Rollo, of the guy at the end of Space Invaders. Rick looked just like that too.
I just got that. Let's have a look. Here we go. Yep, it's same guy. Yep.
There you go.
I swear to God, Rick. I swear to God, Rick, that is you.
You also was the drummer from Midnight Oil. That's another one that you've said.
Rob Hurst.
I can't be all of these people, Rollo. I've got a generic.
What was my favorite? Oh, beatbox. Can you play that beatbox? What was it when he did that?
No, you should have a chat with each other.
No.
Yeah, you should.
We don't want to play nonsense. But Rollo, so far it's been a fantastic conversation going all the way back to what we're talking about. That really is an amazing Comey 8647. The right amount of days between 9/11 and out. This is clearly deliberately done. There's no accident whatsoever.
Well, I think Comey's going to prison.
Do you reckon?
Donald Trump.
Rollo, did you hear Donald Trump's speech while he was in the Middle East the other day? Even yep. on
Comey's going even, to see his homies.
Comey's seeing his homies. Even I was listening to that fantastic radio show. It's called Frank's Golden Radio Hour.
Okay.
2GB on Wednesday nights where they play old Stanza Marnick and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he said afterwards, he was saying, has it, and Stanley's an old lefty for sure. And he said, has anyone heard Donald Trump's speech from this, he did this big thing in the Arabia the other day. It is a really good speech. It's up there with some of the great
speeches. Can we get Bella to play
No, because I don't know where it is or I don't know what it is. But because it could just it's the one that Stanley played and it was on Wednesday last week. Don't try because I don't know which. He's on constantly speaking online. But it was actually really good. And I thought, that's the first time I've heard an old lefty go, actually, this guy's actually saying some really good stuff. And he did.
I never thought Stanley was a lefty.
John Stanley. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Look.
No. I would say he was definitely centrist, if anything. A centrist. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. It's called Frank's Golden something. I shared it onto Rollo's Balcony, the four or five podcasts that John Stanley's released. All these are shows, and this guy, I'm going to send him an email and say, look, you should be doing a show just playing, because he's got hold of thousands of hours of the best of John Laws, best of Brian Wilshire, the best of Rob, who's my favourite that died, you know, what's his name, Clive Robertson. He's got all of this, the tapes, and he's downloading them using business that he has of putting tapes.
He hasn't got little grabs that we can play here now.
We could, but it's basically you just have to play one of the whole shows.
Look what we did during the week. I'd never heard of Billy Carter. He said, is he in the new Billy Carter to me? And I went, I don't know who Billy Carter is. And it turns out he's the black sheep of the other Carter,
Okay, roll it. What were you?
Billy Bear.
I'll decipher this. We were talking about the new Pope, the American Pope, who's an American.
That's it.
And his brother. A bit of a knockabout. And I said, he sounds like the new Billy Carter, because when President Jimmy Carter became president in the 70s, they focused on his brother, who was a drinker, ex-Marine, just a knockabout guy. And he became a minor celebrity, huge celebrity, actually, back in the day. And he had his own beers named after him called Billy's Beer. And there's some great adverts on YouTube about Billy's Beer. So it's interesting to see there's a bit of a similarity between the new Pope and Jimmy Carter's brother, guaranteed.
Mm. Yeah, big time.
Anyway, Rollo, what movie?
I'm just looking. I remember Run Lola Run, and I said Froggy film, right. But it wasn't. It was actually a German film. Yeah.
Run Lola Run.
Not French. Yeah.
Run Lola Run had the soundtrack, and I think it might have been the Chemical Brothers behind some of the music.
Oh, was it?
Could have been. Have a look up Chemical Brothers.
I'll send it to Velo. This is the one
No, 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 no.
No, I'm sending it to Velo now. Here we go. Well, this is from Run Lola Run. Yeah.
Mm. No, I'm just talking about the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
forget about
what do you think the movie is about? It's about
time, and she's, you know, everything's coincidences, and she's running, and
yeah,
and she's right at the right spot, the right time. I'm reminiscing about when did it come out? About
1993. Such an old film. Yeah.
Far out. Wow.
Yeah. It's that piece of music though. It's so it's not simple like a Terminator, where the guy comes back in time, but It is like that.
I don't know who directed it, but it was a really good movie back in. But I didn't watch it till 2005 or so. You know, so maybe it must have been older than that. I never saw it till then. SBS on a Saturday night. Yeah. SBS used to have world movies. It probably still does, I guess. Yeah. I'm talking about the special broadcast. Our special language station that we have in Australia. But Saturday nights, I can remember loving the world movies and just, you know, particularly Spanish, German, French.
Yeah, movies. So it was actually called Lola Rent.
Really?
Now, as Tom Twyker, Tom Twyker did the music as well. He's actually he's a musician, Tom Twyker.
I bet you he was in some German electronic band back in the 70s.
Yeah. That's right. It's awesome. Velo, can you play that
no,
piece of music?
No, don't bother him. Roll it. Don't bother him. We'll have a conversation.
It's all good.
But the movie, Run, Lola, Run, is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
So the story follows a woman named Lola who needs to obtain 100,000 Deutschmark in 25 minutes to save the life of her boyfriend, Manny.
Yeah.
And,
Who's the actress? Who's the actress that plays Lola?
Lola is.
And why wasn't she in the Marvel movie?
Frankie Potente.
Now, she was fantastic. You don't hear about her anymore. What do you hear about
that? Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look, see what she's up to. Well, she's still alive. That's something. Yeah.
She wasn't vaccinated.
She's still acting.
She wasn't vaccinated.
Well, she's still alive, so she wasn't vaccinated. She's just doing. Look, she's played bit parts. She's been in the Bourne series, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy.
Oh,
But
I thought she was very attractive.
She was. I wouldn't say attractive, but I would say.
Different. She didn't look like. Now this is an interesting conversation. What defines attractive? Like a lot of women have in their head that attractive means looking like a Barbie doll. When that is the last fucking thing. That is the last thing any man. Interesting noses. People with interesting noses. You know, we don't want. Remember when what's her name, Jennifer Grey, when after she did
Dirty Dancing.
Now she
the
interesting part of her face was her nose, like. And I have to suggest that Barbara Streisand was actually right when she said, if I had my nose done, I wouldn't look the same. And 100%, she looked just like Jennifer Grey, who looks like every other fucking woman. And
really?
I actually remember when
Kenny Everett did his take on
Rod Stewart.
He did Rod Stewart. Big.
Yeah, but Rod Stewart's bum that got bigger, I think, actually, on the Rod Stewart.
It could have been. You think I'm sexy and you think you want me. I think he's still with us as well.
Rod Stewart is extraordinarily wealthy.
I wish I was there. What would I do with all that money?
You'd sit around and get drunk.
You'd
sit around and drink yourself to death.
Drink myself to death with it. Yes.
Anyway, Rollo, back to the property. It's fantastic. So you're saying so it's got a backyard that's not.
Yes.
You don't have neighbours in your backyard. You've got a neighbour on your left and right side.
They're all good apparently. But yeah, well, that was the first thing. The fact that the place was beautifully open planned and, you know, pretty much, wasn't a money pit. You know what a money pit is? You know, yes, where you just go and buy a place and the place is a fucking disaster. No,
Have you ever seen? Apparently, it was based on an Australian movie called Umo Roa, Our Home Backwards. Umo Roa.
Okay.
And there was a movie that Tom Hanks starred in called The Money Pit.
Yeah. The Money Pit.
Right. That was actually, they stole the whole idea off an Australian movie that was a movie. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's Our Home and it's backwards. Umo Roa or whatever. How you say Our Home Backwards. Have you seen that movie? And it stars the chick from Cheers as his wife. That is a really funny movie. Really funny movie.
Kirstie Alley or the other one?
No, the good-looking one, not Kirstie Alley. Not that one.
It would be the one that looked like a grandma. Shelley Long.
Yeah. Shelley Long. She plays his wife. Now, that is, if anything that would redeem Tom Hanks to me these days is watching that movie again, because he is brilliant in it. It's about a couple that buy an old house, and it is just a fucking nightmare. Have you seen it? You've got to watch
it. I have. That's the only thing I don't want. I don't want that to be, but there you go.
But we're all that way, Rollo.
The guy that's buying my place doesn't realize how good my house is.
I bet you he does. That's why he bought it.
Yeah, because that place is solid as a rock. That thing is you can do that up. $975.
Yeah. He didn't tell you how good he thinks it is. That's not a great negotiating tactic, is it?
No, but
he had to tell you it was bad.
Bella. He's going to get, when he does it up, he's going to get easily 1.6, 1.7, 1.8. Yep. Easily, because the house left to me is 1.6 and Warren's place is easily worth 1.23 at the moment. Yeah. So all he has to do is that place that he's buying for $975 and throw a couple of hundred into it. Open planet.
If he spends $300,000, he can be getting.
He'll still double his investment. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure, 100%.
But I think he. No, but the thing
how
is,
how old is he, Roland?
Just
how
between me and you, he's about my age. And the thing is, I think he kind of wants to live there because he just likes the street because.
I have spent a huge amount of time there. I have stayed there many, 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 many times, and it is a fantastic street. There's no noise. It's apart from the choppers and the fire brigade, the ambulances going off from the hospital not far from you. It's beautiful,
the best street in Newcastle. It's like. It's almost like you're in the bush. You're in the, like, you've got, you're you don't look onto it. You sit on your balcony and you've got this most beautiful view straight
into
the
bush. You're living in the bush. And if you built up, like if someone decided to go up a bit higher, you probably have sea views because you've got that area of.
If he gets planning permission, he could probably put a. Whole block of so units on that, on that, on that's that block. But that's what he wants to do.
But there'd be bigger, but you could put more than one house there because your backyard, which is literally a forest,
it's huge.
With giant trees,
it's huge.
Huge backyard. 100%. I told people, this is the greatest. If you're an architect, you can make something that no one else is ever going to see.
Well, he's already submitted. He's already submitted to the
land and environment.
What he wants to do with the place. He's like he's already put it into what's that computer program where you put your house into it and he's already designed what he wants to do with the place. I don't know if he's Jewish or not, but I'm just saying he's just got this massive ideas what he wants to do with the place. And I just said, I'd love to see it when it's done.
I told people, I told architects, I said in Sydney, the clients that I had, I said, this house is an empty, it's like an artwork that could be done for an architect. Yeah. It's got to be something special. They can make a house. If a good architect went in there, he could make a house that no one else in Newcastle is living in an area that, and you've got native this, native that. You could have sea views if you went up a bit higher, because you're at the highest position in Newcastle that looks down on all of Newcastle. Yeah, that's a fantastic area. I love it. And I love the shopping centre down there.
You're a stone's throw away from.
Except if you have to walk from the station to your house, which I did on a couple of occasions.
That's quite a walk. Hey,
it's a long walk.
Rick, from where I'm, the new place I'm going to have a big party next week, but obviously when I buy, housewarming, you're all invited. All right. How about this song, Living Colour?
Hang on, just... fireworks.
What was that?
Fireworks. Your housewarming, Roller.
Yeah. Hey, Velo, can I have this song by Living Colour? It's a song called "By."
No,
I love it. I love it,
Roller.
Please.
No, we're not saying you don't love it. It's just the show's so good, and I made a mistake by coming in and making a joke, and now you know I'm here, and now you won't let go of it. Just we love hearing you guys talk. Yeah, just talk.
Living Colour. And I don't want to hear.
Hello.
No, Rollo.
Living Colour. I want the song by.
Rollo, go and sit down.
I'm not going to say goodbye.
Will you have meat at your housewarming party?
Yeah, I will. Hey, you and Sarah.
When?
We don't want to hear any. You've already had. Rollo.
Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Here we go. Saturday, the 17th of May, 2025. Rick and Rollo, 31. And here we go. We've got Living Colour. Boy, I swear to God, this is like one of my favourite songs. It reminds me of, who was it? Lenny Kravitz, back in the day. Living Colour. And Lenny Kravitz were so similar bands. Here we go. Velocet.
No.
Come on.
I don't even know what song it is. Leave me alone.
Yeah, Rollo, shut up. Yeah, Rollo, shut up. We're not playing this song. We're not playing it.
Well, I'm gonna send it to him. Here we go.
No, you can, but that song, so I'll tell you, Living Colour had a really good guitarist. And they had Corey Teller, a black heavy rock band. Basically, black, heavy rock band. And when I say black, I'm talking about African-American or whatever. They were dark, and very unusual back in the day. Very unusual. And had some great songs. That isn't one of them. The one you want, I've never heard of it before.
Mm-mm. I just sent it to Bellow. Yeah,
you've already had one song. You can't have
any more. Anyone? You had one.
No, I didn't.
Last week.
Last week, we chose a really good song to one because we're in Australia.
It was Australian, I must admit.
So. Computer Games.
It was MI6. MI6, is that right? Or was it MI5?
MI6. MI6 is literally literally how the intelligence agencies back in the 50s used to refer to as MI6. That's why it was interesting. The fact that we call it the band MI6. Do a song about Matrix computer games. That was actually full of interesting bits and pieces. Be told, 100%. Anyway, we'll just keep talking, Rollo. You shared a whole lot of stuff.
I was looking at Sean Connery.
I sent it to you.
It was
Joe Rogan.
He is like, yeah,
Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. He was talking about Sean Connery being interviewed by some woman. And the woman was trying to load him up and say, "So you said that you hit your ex, you'd slap your wife," and he said, "Yeah, I did." And she goes, "Do you retract that?" He goes, "No, I don't." because he goes, that's the only way to deal with it.
It was Barbara Walters. It was Barbara Walters. And he had no problem carrying on.
I'm going to slap them. That's the way it is. And she goes, do you retract? And he goes, no, I don't.
I'm not going to. What are you going to?
Do you know who I am?
But, I support
everything that I said before.
You do. You actually do. You do a better Connery than I do.
I guarantee I do. I support everything that I said.
Mm.
But he didn't back down. And Joe Rogan and the whole crew were all clapping.
Oh, they were laughing.
They thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So I actually like some of Rogan's.
Well, it's people that have the courage of their convictions. And look, if you're going to do this, just hold on to your convictions. Don't back down at all.
He was kind of implying that his ex-wife. Now I know who he's talking about because his ex-wife was an Australian actor. I forget her name. It was Diane, someone or other.
Well,
she accused him of giving her a slap when she was, and he said, well, she was hysterical, screaming and getting violent, which is what they can do. I'm going to tell you now. And he said a slap, and he said not an open fist. He said I slapped her.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, back in the day, I think that was a common thing if there was a husband and wife fighting.
Well, I've been slapped.
Yeah, a slap, not exactly, and it actually wakes you up. If you're losing your shit, sometimes a slap does wake you up. And that I did share on Facebook. There's a really funny South Park episode on how to deal with ADHD. And is that, have you seen that? It's some professor.
Okay, so to slap a woman was not the crudest thing that you can do. Sean Connery claimed he was set up during a vile interview that tainted his legacy. Despite his iconic status as James Bond, saw his reputation take a nosedive after a particularly infamous Playboy interview. Things got messier when he sat down with Barbara Walters and where he seemingly doubled down on the controversial comments whether it's acceptable to slap a woman. That moment has since become a notorious clip haunting his legacy, ensuring that these words echoed through the internet.
Getting Joe Rogan's crew were clapping for him. The fact that he said, I agree.
Let's get Melisette to play that right now. Joe Rogan's crew.
It's just
to make sure that we're not lying here.
We're not lying.
But Joe Rogan's crew.
I'd be too scared. I would have been too terrified to even attempt something like that. Unless they punch you first, just throw a random slap. Isn't what you would call? You'd actually get jailed for that these days, I would say. Is that the biggest thing at the moment on the media? Is DV, domestic violence abuse, and that's and it's all women centric. They're not actually, and I'm suggesting that women are the most violent, way more violent than most men, way more violent. And Sean Connery was just simply saying. You get into an argument and they're getting hysterical. He said a slap can work. Joe Rogan loved it. And he's the biggest single fucking show on the planet at the moment. They were laughing about it. So, what do you say?
No, it's
all Connery slap. But his wife, Diane, I forget her name, she was Australian. She did accuse him.
Is it okay? Again, I'll say it. Is it okay for a woman to slap? A man. Here we go.
Here we go.
I found it. The Joe Rogan. Here we go. It's 7 years old. My God.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I'll just send that.
I think. My personal thing.
There it is.
Your own
Bella. Bella. I just sent it to Bella. It's 7 years old.
Sean Connery is talking to Barbara Walters, and she asks him about hitting chicks.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And he's like, sometimes you give them the last word, but that's not enough. They have to say more, and you just gotta give them a little smack. A little smack.
Yeah, that's... just said it. That's and crazy. Barbara's just like,
she didn't know what the fuck to do. She thought she had him.
Yeah.
She thought it was over. And he dug his heels in.
He's impervious, I guess, you know? But
he probably had no cum in his body because he probably fucked 15 different women that day.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, what kind of nonsense conversation are we having here? Yeah.
Do I need to smack you, Barbara?
I'm fucking Sean Connery.
Yeah, look at the smile on his face.
James Bond, look at my mustache. I'm bald. I don't care. I'm a manch man. let's play. Can we play it without getting pulled off of YouTube?
To slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Mm. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good.
You don't think it's bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it. Yeah.
What would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, they can't leave it alone. Yeah? They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation. Then I think it's absolutely right.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're loving that. They're clapping away. And...
I'm going to have to say this.
A lot of women out there would probably agree with that, you know, with their friendships with other women. And
so many Karens. Is she a Karen? Like, Karen, so many Karens need to be slapped. But this is 17. When did Connery die? He died in, he left public life in, what was
he knew he was getting old, part of it. A lot of actresses and actors are like that. Is what they know that they're not going to go.
It's like Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman, when he did the same deal. He just said, "That's it, fuck it."
That's what, they hype that.
It's around the same time.
Yeah, same time. It was a guy that was, you know, did his stuff, and he was getting old, and he was going to go and get more and more plastic surgery, like a lot of other.
Let's hold the topic of conversation is whether it is it right to slap.
If they slap you, you can slap them. That's my rule. If you get punched in it, right, a slap. I'm not talking about, we're not talking about wonderful warriors here.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up because I was being forced to go back let me get my notebook here. Give me a second. My notebook. Here we go. Recovery point. Do you remember last week I said, that the because of the trouble I had with my neighbor, I had to attend.
Yes.
What's it called? Like a recovery
counseling.
Point.
It's counseling.
Well, there you go. Well, I went and attended this thing last Tuesday just to keep them off my back. And
how'd it go?
And it was fine. It was fine. Look, they played a Matt Brown TED Talk. I watched it. Matt Brown, he's a New Zealander guy. It's a TEDx talk from Christchurch. And he brought in his talk, he brought up, what's it, Once Warriors? Sorry, I got the burps. And he said, he thought it was him and his family thought it was a comedy. Like, seriously, he thought that Once Warriors was a comedy. That's how bad his family life was. This,
so he had a worse. Yeah, he had a worse.
Yeah, yeah, Matt. Worse. This Matt Brown. Look it up. Matt Brown, TEDx, Christchurch. Yeah, it's like seriously, he had such a he had
bad childhood.
A bad childhood. He ended up becoming a hairdresser and like
homosexual.
No, well, he's not. If you immediately associate hairdressers with homosexuals, why do we do that? It's like, you know, you get on a plane and the guy that's serving you drinks is a homosexual. That
if it's on a Qantas flight, usually
yes, yeah, because you look at him and you think he's what was it? Who was that fella used to do the? Oh, the Visor, Steve Visor. He would always be the.
Well, that was true.
Did he end up running Telstra or something, or like a CEO?
You were usually guaranteed that Jewett.
Usually
was a raving homosexual of the highest magnitude. I'm talking about classic level, high level homosexual.
They used to do it on the footy show at all. The Manny Johns, Andrew Johns' brother, would play.
Speaking of Manny Johns, I heard a funny story today of we're talking about Andrew Johns. We confused Daniel Johns, Andrew Johns.
That's right.
Andrew Johns was saying, they were talking about sledging and people that, you know, say nasty things to get you off your game when you're playing a game of sport.
Bring the biff back and all of that.
Yeah. So Andrew Johns was saying the only time he ever encountered it was actually his own brother, Matty, right? They were facing off against on some big game somewhere. and Matty Johns said to him, he goes, hey, to Andrew, he goes, my old man's sleeping with your mother. You know, as a, and he goes, yeah, I know, because it's like they're actually they're both parents with the same parents, but it was just a joke on the field.
But that's funny. Hilarious. But that's hilarious, gang.
It was very funny. He is so
because he was playing for Cronulla at the time, and Cronulla and Andrew was Newcastle. Still playing at Newcastle.
Yeah,
it's classic.
I thought that was very funny. I laughed at that. I thought
that was at the Super League. That's where they made their real money. I remember their parents. 1996. It was when they the Rupert Murdoch did the Super League and the ARL. So yeah, so we had two teams here at Newcastle.
Mm.
It was just a crazy period.
Outrageous sums of money to join.
People who were going to retire that year.
Yeah, all of a sudden got up.
They suddenly got
$600,000 or more.
It was such a crazy period.
I remember it. I remember a guy in played for Balmain, that Steve Edmed, who was about to retire. And he signed up with Super League, and I could hear guys that knew him at the gym going, he'd been offered, it was either $1 million or money just to sign up to Super League.
They couldn't believe it. Yeah, they couldn't believe it. It was all their dreams came at once. Even the old guys, like, you know, the creaky bones where they go, oh my God, I can't go one more season. And then they go,
here's $1 million.
Yeah,
here's
I've been slogging it out for like 20 years,
and in 50,000 a year.
Yeah, you remember when Brett Kenny wrote? Mate. This is one of my funniest stories I've ever heard. Right,
Brett Kenny from Parramatta.
That's right. And this is before Super League. It was 92, 93. When Peter Sterling busted his shoulder. It was like Brett Kenny, you know, Sterlo and Kenny at Parramatta. They were the half 5'8" combination.
When I first came to Australia, Parramatta could do no wrong. They won every grand final.
They were awesome. They were awesome. That's why I don't support them anymore. I'm a baseballer now, but back then I was just I was just huge into Parramatta. And even though I lived here in Newcastle, I got hassled. Why do you support Parramatta? I go,
Rollo.
Why not?
You know Dave Gleeson, who would have to be the most famous son of Newcastle.
Yeah.
Guess who his favourite team is? It's St. George the Dragons. He is so, not a Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is obsessive St. George fanatic.
I tell you, when the day I met all the bloody, I got a little bit hassled. I told you the time where I was in the Town Hall Hotel when,
Parramatta was
playing Brisbane, but the Knights had played East the night before, and they were all in there doing their drunk. And that's the night. That was the day I sat next to Jack Newton, the golfer. While all the kids were all getting drunk and doing their stuff, and he goes, and Jack says, why are you supporting Parramatta? I say, I used to live here in Newcastle, but I went to Sydney, but I've supported, and he's trying to go, but why don't you? And I go,
or Newcastle.
Well, I'm not going to switch. Because his son was Clint Newton, son. Yep. Yeah, and I just said, Jack, look, why did you walk into a bloody propeller?
Get your arm cut off.
Yeah, no, but I didn't say that. But he was quite drunk. He was quite drunk, but he was very friendly. In Australia,
I guess it's the same in England. If you live in Liverpool and you don't support either Everton or Liverpool, yeah. You're one of the two. You can be exalted. You're listening
Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Condensation.
Yeah, the art of condensation. Saturday, the 17th of May, 2025. Rick and Rollo, 31. We are here talking about.
Well, sport.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
I'm saying it's territorial in Australia, and like England, I lived in Balmain for many years, and I had people that, used to say, oh, yeah, Tigers, and I actually do like Tigers. I like the players back in the day. When I first moved there, it was Wayne Pearce and Blocker Roach and all of those guys.
I met Blocker Roach, actually. Because they did a thing here in Newcastle called it's called the Footy Show or something.
Yeah.
but it wasn't live. It was so they were all swearing and I just went along. I got a free ticket, and my friend wanted some autographs for I don't know for what reason.
You've got a big poster of all the Parramatta.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was different. When I met, Luke Burt, his mother wanted a computer or something. Yeah, and that's right. He got the whole photo beautifully autographed by the whole team. Doesn't do it for me anymore. I mean, I've just kind of, It's like I got Tom Baker's autograph. A couple of them.
Fantastic.
You remember Tom Baker saying,
"Hello, Rollo." I saw a photo of him on Facebook again because he's very skinny but he looks still alive.
Big time skinny. Yeah,
he's really skinny. Really skinny.
I can't believe he's still alive. Yeah, it's amazing that he's still with us.
92 or 93.
Yep. Yeah, he was born in 1930. Yeah, that's right. He was absolutely my favorite Doctor Who. Remember Tharys, that guy that we spoke to on.
He was Has he still going? Theories?
Oh yeah, he's got a big YouTube channel. Yeah, he's got
how many people?
He gets 20,000 views per video now. Yeah.
Wow, fantastic! You know, my son he got 300,000 views on the one he made. I thought it was 30,000, but no, it was 300,000. It's probably up to 500,000 on just a parody thing they did on doing HSC.
You can occasionally do that, yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, yeah, but occasionally you get a sort of an outlier. That's what it's called, an outlier where. You know, it just goes everywhere. It's just crazy sometimes how the internet works when it comes to. But if you want constant views, you just got to do it every day, weekend, like the grind.
Yep. Oh, look, it's a thing. It's obviously a thing for young people that they can actually do it.
They can make good money on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm a sucker. Or YouTube Shorts, I can be sitting there and they send me things too. But it baffles me. They keep sending me all this UFC stuff, which I'm not interested in, to be honest. But I do watch a lot of it, and I obviously go, oh, he's obviously watching it, and they send me more and more and more. And Conor McGregor fights, Conor McGregor is a very interesting character. Who's now, I would say, going to hang out with Donald Trump. And if he hasn't already, he's actually angling up to be a politician in Ireland because Ireland is being flooded with Romanians and Africans and all these people taking over.
Look at us. We're being flooded with bloody Indians.
Indians. Belisic, can you play that? Indians. That was funny.
Indians.
Isaac, classic.
What a fucking genius.
That was my next door neighbor. Indians.
But that was Jack Nicholson from Easy Rider.
It was.
He takes a sip of the moonshine and he just rolls his eyes back and.
I'm so glad he's still with us, Jack. Uncle Jack, we call him.
Unbelievably.
Was your favorite role him in? Shining. Not as Joker in Batman.
Back in the
earlier 70s, he was like, what was it? Like he was really creepy in the. What was it called where he was the, what was it, the China, not the China syndrome or whatever?
No, he was in Chinatown, which is a really good movie.
Chinatown, that's the one. Yeah, no, the really one I really liked him, the one I really liked him in was with Nurse Ratched.
One flew over the.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, one.
Ken Kesey wrote that, yeah.
She's a bit of a cunt, isn't she, Nurse? When he says that, she's a bit of a cunt.
He was the guy that actually produced or financed the Monkees movie Head. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's fucking weird. Yeah, you know, the Monkees wanted to become relevant after they'd been found out that they'd been played, and basically none of their songs. All the musicians were they brought in those session guitarists and musicians from that particular group of the greatest session musicians ever, and they were really pissed off about it, and they decided to leave the contract after 5 years or 4 years, whatever, and they put this movie out called Head, and Frank Zappa was behind it, and what's his name we were just talking about? Jack Nicholson. This is way before. This is before that, but I think Jack Nicholson directed or produced Head, which is a really, really strange movie, but some really awesome music in it. I have to say that. But yeah, Jack Nicholson is just one of the character actors that is so good in everything he does. Even the movie he did with that. What's his name when he played the psychiatrist in Anger Management with And what's his name?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that is a good movie. Yeah. Really, what about
he was next to the gay guy in is this as good as it gets? Like, Look, here we go. I just said the best of Jack Nicholson to Velocette. Here we go. Let's have a listen. The best of Jack Nicholson. Let's listen to his voice. It's just so sweet, so beautiful.
He's just an amazing character. Amazing character actor. And he can walk in and do anything. And that's the most amazing thing. And do you hear him shouting out against Donald Trump? Do you hear him getting in political turmoil? No, he just keeps his mouth shut and doesn't, you know, he's his own individual person. Yet you shared...
I don't like to go to the dentist, but I rather enjoy it myself, don't you? I mean, there's a real feeling of growth.
Little tub of horror.
Sure.
Progress when that old drill goes in. I mean, I'd almost rather go to the dentist than anywhere, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, no Novocaine. It dulls the senses.
You've got bread and a toaster of some kind?
I don't make the rules.
Okay, I'll make it as easy for you as I can. I'd like an omelet, plain, and a chicken salad sandwich on wheat toast. No mayonnaise, no butter, no lettuce, and a cup of coffee.
Number two, chicken salad sandwich. Hold the butter, the lettuce, the mayonnaise, and a cup of coffee. Anything else?
Yeah, now all you have to do is hold the chicken, bring me the toast, give me a check for the chicken salad sandwich, and you haven't broken any rules.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
I'm gonna kick your ass around the block for drill, man.
You try it and I'll call the shore patrol.
I am the motherfucking shore patrol, motherfucker. I am the motherfucking shore patrol. Give this man a beer.
The guy goes home and he starts screwing his home wife. See? So he screws her for a little bit. And then he stops and goes out of the room and he reads Life magazine. Then he goes back in. He starts screwing again. He says, excuse me for a minute, honey. He goes out and he smokes a cigarette. Now his wife is getting sore as hell. He comes back in the room. He starts screwing again. He gets up to start to leave again to go look at the moon. She looks at him and says, hey, what's the matter with you? You're screwing just like a Chinaman.
How's it going back?
Perfect, Billy boy. Absolutely perfect. They was giving me 10,000 watts a day, you know, and I'm hot to trot. Next woman takes me on is going to light up like a pinball machine and pay off in silver dollars.
Here's Johnny.
I just didn't want you to think I was like one of your other girls.
Not much danger in that unless you curtsy on my face real soon. Never rub another man's rhubarb. I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
If it's election night, and you're excited and you want to celebrate because some fudge packer that you date has been elected the first queer president of the United States, and he's going to have you down to Camp David, and you want someone to share the moment with, even then, don't knock. Not on this
good
door.
As it gets.
When I tell you to dump a body in the marsh, you dump him in the marsh. Not where some guy from John Hancock goes every Thursday to get a fucking blowjob! Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
For me to get
so shaping here. The corporate culture might not bring results on the income statement as quickly.
You are a fucking moron. Too rough.
Much too rough.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. The last couple I don't remember. But I've seen those.
The Departed and
The Departed's great.
My favorite. Actually, the last one that I really Dear Indugu, it was called About Schmidt.
Yeah,
it was wonderful film.
What was the other one he did about the The Bucket List. He was in The Bucket List with
With Morgan Freeman. Right. The Bucket List.
He's always he's a great actor that can just walk in to multiple different roles.
I thought they were both phoning that one in. They kind of phoned it in. Yeah.
Well, they got paid.
But the one where he really puts it in, it's like. It is. Like, I love that voice of his. What was it with Peter Fonda? What was it? Where he was the lawyer.
Easy Rider,
right? Because his voice hadn't really. He hadn't shattered it with all the cigarettes or the cocaine and all the whiskey.
Now you can add Viagra. And he was always pushing.
That was a great movie, by the way. I enjoyed that. Peter Fonda
I'll tell you a really funny story. If you can remember his name, I'll tell you a really funny story about that guy. Not Warren Oates. It was the guy that was in he played the drugged guy in Apocalypse Now as well, and he's an art.
That's him. Yeah, I know who you. Yeah, that's him.
What's his name? Can you name him?
Yeah. Hold on.
Well, I can't.
Dennis Hopper.
Can I tell a really funny anecdote? This is a true story.
Mm.
When Easy Rider came out. It made huge sums of money for a say it cost $150,000, it made $10 million, right? Huge sums of money for the studio. The old guys of whatever the studio was, Columbia or 20th Century Fox, the manager said, Look, we don't know what's selling these days, you know, these guys are this is really fucking, you know, what they're doing. So they gave Dennis Hopper a whole lot of money, and I'm talking about millions back in the day, to do this thing called The Last Picture Show or something. I've got the book here. I've got a book about, it's called The Worst Movies Ever Made. And, okay, 50 Worst Movies Ever Made by a guy called, what's his name?
His opinion. That they were the worst.
No. Yeah, it's by the guy, Michael Medved wrote a book. Medved. It's called The Golden Turkey Award. Yeah, and there's a book called 50 Worst Movies of All Time. And so in the list of the worst movies ever.
Easy Rider, right?
Easy Rider made them so much money. So what they did is they look. The old Jewish business guy.
Why are you bringing up the worst movie? It's called the
Last Picture Show. I'm going to go through it now to try and find it. But it's so funny. It's called The Last Movie, right? In 1971, directed Dennis Hopper. Now, what happened is that they gave Dennis Hopper, they said, look, obviously we've lost the plot here. We don't understand the young people now. They're doing drugs. But they're making us so much money. So we'll just give Dennis Hopper a whole lot of money and say, make us another movie like Easy Rider. So Dennis Hopper, who was off his fucking head on LSD, cocaine, any drug you could get, the guy was on it. And so he went to the Himalayas, right, and started shooting this and they sent all their best director, you know, film people. Hopper was off his head for about 10 months in the Himalayas doing this movie that makes no sense whatsoever. And they came back, and Dennis Hopper gave the directors, the producers or whatever, what the rushes and the best. But this is the funniest thing. What happened is that when they screamed, so the old producer said to the studio staff, they said, look, you're young. You're obviously going to get this movie. Can you understand what Dennis Hopper's given us? And they sat there and they were sitting there watching it and they were going, what the fuck is this guy doing? And they and they just started nodding to the producers at the top going, hey, this is good, because they were too scared to say, oh, no, this guy is wasting millions of dollars. So they pretended that they gave knowing nods.
How many times have you been in that situation where people think that, you just got to say, what the fuck is going on here?
Instead they said, it's good. It's got, there's something here.
Yeah.
And so and these guys put the movie out. No one watched it. It was a movie.
Apocalypse Now. He was great in that.
Yeah, well, a friend, my old boss, had a personal anecdote about Dennis Hopper. He came over here and they were doing an Australian movie, this just in between Apocalypse Now or just after Apocalypse Now. And he said he was sitting in the same room, and because he didn't take drugs, they were passing joints around in this room. And
he said,
look, I don't want, he passed them. And Dennis Hopper's going, hey, man, are you a fed? Are you a cop? He started freaking out and throwing his arms around. And he said, I just don't take drugs. And this was he was over here in Australia doing some stupid Australian movie that they got. Again, this guy flitted about. He made huge sums of money. He invested all in modern art. So you're listening to
Rick and Roller.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Yeah, Saturday the 17th of May, 2025. Rick and Rollo 31. Yeah, this is the Dennis Hopper special. Would you believe it? All the.
Oh, may as well be.
How much fucking cones have I? How much cones have I done?
So episode 31 on the 17th of, is it 17th of May?
Yeah, that's right. How many cones have I done? Mm.
Cones or cans?
Cones, like smoke, like I. What about acid? The last time I did acid,
Tell us all about
it. I was the fellow from, what was his name again? From Windsor Davies.
Yeah,
from
It
Ain't Half Hot Mud. Yes, it was.
So funny.
And I'm not kidding you. I was him.
Yeah, that would acid would do that to you.
Acid does that to you.
Next thing you wake up naked with God knows in somebody's house. Who the fuck house am I in?
Thank you, Melissa. Oh, my God.
That's a really funny story. But that is a funny story when you took a trip.
But it's true.
You took one trip or two trips or whatever, and you thought you
were... No, just one just to check for my friends.
It worked.
To make sure.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Boy, did it work. It was so classic.
Back in the 90s, when ecstasy first came out, they used to say that the people selling it used to go around to pubs and they'd say, can you be a test pilot to see how this pill works? And I knew a guy that was always volunteering to be a test pilot. I'm talking about mid-90s, right? And he would take whatever they've been sold by. Usually, I would say it's all coming from Europe. back in the day. And he'd take it to see, you know, whether it was too strong or how bad or full of acid or whatever.
What about ecstasy?
That's what I'm talking about. Ecstasy. He was a test pilot for ecstasy in a pub. Yeah. He was always. That was a thing. That was a thing back in the 90s.
It was.
Because if you just bought, I don't know, 1,000 pills.
Man, I loved it. I loved it. All right. If we're going out, how about we go out with a shaman? I sent it to Bella. We'll go to the after show after this. We'll go to the after show. So
yeah, we will.
Can we go out with a shaman? Like, I just said it to
song? What song, Roller?
It's called Ebenezer Good. He's good. He's Ebenezer Good. Yeah. Can we go out with that and we'll go to the after show? How about that?
Naughty. Right, shut up.
Very naughty.
Very naughty.
I'll see you in the after show.
His friends call him Easer and he is the main geezer. And he vibe up the place like no other man could. He's refined, he's sublime, he makes you feel fine. And very much maligned and misunderstood. But if you know Easer, he's a real crowd pleaser. He's ever so good, he's ever an Easer good. You see that he's mischievous, mysterious and devious. When he circulates amongst the people in the place, once you know he's fun and something of a genius. He gives a grin that goes around face to face to face. Backwards and then forwards and then backwards. Easer is a geezer, he loves to muscle in. That's about the time the crowd has shouted the name of Easer. He's punched in the corner laughing by the bass bin.
Thank you, Rick. Hey, thank you, Donald Trump. Be told and listen to the after. So number 31. Still a great track,
after
Rowan.
After show.
Yeah.
Easy good. Hey, thank you, Rick.
Can I just recall those days of the late 80s, 90s?
Oh, yeah.
It was just way more fun.
Hold on. I've actually managed to procure myself something a little bit special for the after show. Ready? See how good this goes.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hold on. I've got to find myself a straw. I've got a little baggie. Here we go. Hold on. do you really want to know?
Yeah, tell me. Where did you get it from?
Here we go. Do you really want to know? It was actually I've had a lot of access to people that are
selling things.
Hold on, let me.
Have you got a drug counselor?
Hold on. Let me just do this correctly. I don't know if it's real or not. It's just I've had so much access to real estate agents, and I'm not saying it's anyone's that I've had to do with. Here we go. Ready?
Well, I bet you
the same. Here we go. Ready?
If Rollo dies just after this conversation, we obviously know that it was stuff that he was given. It could have been. Still going.
It's a sweet burn.
So it's been chopped up with icing sugar. Well, snorting icing sugar and
let me just calm down.
Oh dear,
just the after show. This is probably never going to air.
Baby lax and aftershave. There we go. Baby lax and aftershave.
But it feels good. I mean, I haven't been ripped.
It depends how much you pay for it.
Cocaine.
It depends how much you
pay for it. How much did I pay for it? I sold my place for $770.
Shit, balls, man.
Here we go. Hey, now, Bella's had some fun with the come on, Bella. Let's hear it all with the
No, Rollo, we've already played.
I love this.
Your song. Rollo, we've already played.
We're off to now with the 200,000 left over. Where are we off to? Vietnam? Or are we off to?
Rollo, you're what we call an Indian giver of the highest magnitude. Mm. Nothing's happening. Mm. Nothing is happening. I'd rather I could get more money.
Actually, you're right. You know, at the moment, we're still in limbo.
Exactly.
Let me grab another bit. I think we're still in limbo.
Anyway, let's put
a better song on.
Yeah, no, Rollo, shut up. Shut up.
I love it. I love being told to shut up.
No, because you've already played one. Actually, all of the songs whatever we do tonight, it's going to be nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with you.
Guaranteed, 100%. But I'm just talking about those days of the. There used to be a magazine, a free paper that used to was in all the fashion shops and all the clothes shops and everything called 3D, 3D magazine or paper, and it would have all this in articles about. Dance parties and, you know, what was going on. And it would always have all these, like, coded things about there's one next week and there'd be just – everything was coded back in those – you know, there was raves basically going on and they'd find a deserted factory or an old building that was empty and people were setting up their own DJs, dealers would be there, etc. Extremely fun days. Extremely fun days. Because there were pills coming, and I would say from Amsterdam, that back when they originally, the good pills, with the proper ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And yet there was green apples, there was, what were the Mitsubishis? Anyone out there that was around those days, you didn't know these names. They were the names of the various different pills that were coming out. And it was complete wild west of a new culture coming in, the dance parties. The music, that you know, if you turned on, I guess Rage and shows like that were still going, but all of a sudden there was this more trance and electronic, and I actually was kind of straight-ish back then, but I loved reading these magazines to see what culture was going on. And eventually I did get into it, and it was fantastic. I think ecstasy or MDMA and stuff, I don't have a problem with it. But what it's been cut with, you know, from back in the day.
Yeah, sure. It was a destination unknown. I just sent that to Bello. It was a destination unknown sometimes. And look,
but it could be fun.
It could be fun. It could dry your mouth. It could, yeah, whatever. You
drink a lot of water.
I know. I wasn't in charge of the. I saw whole pillows. I saw whole pillows of the damn things. I'm talking
pillows,
massive pillows of ecstasy pills.
It was everywhere. And it just arrived out of nowhere. And if you were, you would have known about it because they targeted that generation to be into these pills. The music was just incredible. This came out of nowhere. This is all culture creation for sure. But pills, I just think it was fantastic. I actually liked that vibe that was going down back in those days. And I remember it with fond memories. But this is the interesting thing. There were people, normal people, going out, scoring from some random stranger a packet of, you know, three or four pills. They could have had skull and crossbones written on them or anything, and they would take them. People were taking candy out of strangers' hands, literally, and I was there. I've seen it happen. You know, someone would go, oh, I can get some ecstasy, and they walk into a... And there could have been any random dodgy guy with a handful of whatever he'd made up selling it, and people were buying it and taking it. So there were some casualties going on, for sure.
That young girl, what was her name?
There was also that couple, I think they were from Newcastle or whatever, they came to Sydney, they were going and out their weekend, and they bought pills from some stranger, and they both died, you know, because they were probably given what the equivalent of ketamine or what's the worst one that's going? Fentanyl.
That's a horrible drug, apparently.
It was extremely nasty, but it stops your heart. And I do believe that's what Heath Ledger.
He was on medication? What do you call it?
But it can be mixed in with these things. Now, I can remember, you know, back in the 90s, you know, your friend would say, you know, we need to get on for tonight, you know, and they'd find some random guy that there was no one around, literally buy a packet of random pills and random, no one knew where these came from. No, there was no product listing in any of them. And just people, and I've done it before, take something completely into your body, that you have no idea where it came from. Incredibly dangerous. Literally, they, you could have put skull and crossbones or death heads on pills, and they, some of them were back then. And because you wanted to get on, you know, you thought there was this new drug party somewhere, you were taking, literally swallowing strangers' drugs, which I guess that's been going on since the 60s when the LSD came out.
Yeah, her name was Anna Wood.
Anna Wood, yeah, that was the most famous case.
So she was the Australian teenager who died after consuming an ecstasy tablet at a rave party in an inner city.
And drank
the death was hypoxia, yeah, probably acute water intoxication, second degree, MDMA. So she died in 1995. So this was years ago. But she was the one that they really tried to, she was 15 years old. Yeah. And so events leading up to her death. Wood had recently, left the forest. Yeah. Well, there you go. Up in the North Shore, completing year 10.
It was a big, story.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to verify that I know many normal people that were going out and scoring from some stranger and taking a pill that could have had anything in it and just swallowing it because it was, they were told it was this guy was good.
Well, I did.
It didn't kill me. But it can come close to it. There was one particular night with this friend of mine had gone into a King's Cross nightclub, come out with these what looked like little maps of Australia, pink things, and people were taking them. And two friends of mine were vomiting nonstop within about 15 minutes of swallowing these pills. Wow. I'm talking about nonstop vomiting. So, and people go, oh, no, that's actually good. That means it's really good stuff. And I was thinking, no, that could have been just some toxic shit that they've, some dealers made up that night. You're listening
Rick and Roll It.
After show.
After show.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And yeah, here we go. Destination Unknown. Hey, yeah, it's the Rick and Roller. Well, no, Truth Meets After Show. It's not Rick and Roller anymore.
It's called Truth Meets After Show.
There's this wonderful song called Destination Unknown by Alex Guado featuring Crystal Waters, Destination Calabria. Have you ever heard this song?
Yeah. I actually used to be into knowing about all these underground parties, but, you know, I was no... Eventually, I did become part of them, and I was at many wild and had some great times. But I also saw this incredible phenomenon of people swallowing pills from a complete stranger that could have been, and often were, anti-parasite pills, anything that a dealer could sell
you. Well, they could be rohypnol, like, you know, date rape.
Or anything. Exactly. And that happened for sure.
That's 100%. Because we're old now, you know. I couldn't imagine ever doing a, what do you call it, where you slip a Mickey fin to a young lady and then make love or fuck her while she's, you know, unconscious.
Unconscious.
Like, what the hell is that all about?
Well, it's very big in the gay scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were dropping.
I think that's maybe why I've woken up with a sore ass once or twice.
Well, that's the
maybe
the
I have been. But maybe I've been rowing.
No, there was something. Is it rowies or whatever? That roofies. They call it roofies.
Working up with a sore ass.
These things happen.
Of course they do. Because that's human. That's human.
Human nature. That's human nature. Yeah, but the 90s were, as, and we mentioned them before, Dennis Hopper, he says it in the movie, The 90s were going to make the 60s look like the 50s, and they're 100% correct. The 90s were absolutely fucking amazing. And
They were. I agree. I was awesome. I swear, the drugs that were going around in the 90s were just, yeah, just fantastic to how the music
came out was just incredible. Actually, I'll tell you what, we'll end. Speaking of ecstasy and stuff like that, actually, I'll send Joel.
You want to go with? I wanted to go with Destination Unknown, but what do you want to go
No,
with?
No. It's called Make Mine a 99.
Make Mine a 99.
Yeah, and it's called Make Mine a 99.
Make Mine a 99. All right.
But that was the way it was. You'd be in a bar, and someone would crack a random coloured fucking smarty, basically. Well, not a smarty. It's much smaller, and you'd have half or a f- or whatever, and you'd be in La La Land, and it was like you couldn't. Everyone you were feeling this incredible feeling that it made.
It's called fluke groove feeling, is that the one?
Groovy feeling, Make Mine a 99. We'll end with that.
To me
was what I can remember being in a random pub, and that came on, and someone had cracked a green apple.
Or
be passing around these green apples.
There you go. I just sent it to Bella. All right. Well, there we go. What is it? The Truth Meets After Show. Here we go. Fluke groove feeling. Make mine a 99. Thank you, Bella.
Well, I'm telling you.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Over and out. Arlo.
Next week.
Right. Next week.
All right, mate. Bye. A little music for a grooving attitude. A little rhythm hymn to all that's happening. May I salute you and the way that you do what you do.